But the one thing that I want to draw from this passage of scripture is that fools do have songs. Fools do have songs. And the fact that fools have songs, that means that from these songs come their words, their deeds, and their conversation.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of What the Fool Believes from our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of What the Fool Believes from our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools.
All right, we have started a new series last week, and you know, we're talking about the songs of fools. This morning, we are going to be talking about the subject, what the fool believes. What the fool believes. We've been using Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 5 for the main scripture for our series. And in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 5, it says, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." And so what Solomon is letting us know is that, you know, we should be in the habit of listening to people who are wise and receiving words from people who are filled with wisdom, that than to be listening to a fool. But the one thing that I want to draw from this passage of scripture is that fools do have songs. Fools do have songs. And the fact that fools have songs, that means that from these songs come their words, their deeds, and their consequences. And so we want to learn the lesson from the songs of fools. When we think of foolishness, it has the whole idea of lacking good sense or judgment or being unwise. And so today, what we want to look at is what the fool believes. What the fool believes. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 14. Psalm 14. And in Psalm 14, in verse 1, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." What the fool believes, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know, we see foolishness all around us. Maybe between the time you got up this morning and right now, you have seen acts of foolishness. I was reading about one guy, and his name actually was Seguidin. And he just didn't like wearing seatbelts. And so, according to the Associated Press, this man lived in New Zealand, and he was ticketed 32 times over 5 years for failing to use a seatbelt. 32 times over 5 years. And even though it was costing him big money, he still refused to wear a seatbelt. And so finally, instead of obeying the law, he got a fake seatbelt that he would hang over his shoulders to make the authorities think that he had his seatbelt on. Well, tragically, the trick worked for a little while, but eventually he was in a head-on collision. He was thrown toward his steering wheel and he was killed. Discussing the accident, the coroner described the fake seatbelt. And he said, though his car was fitted with real seatbelts and an extra belt with an extra long snap to use, it said that he had put in a fake seatbelt that he was simply put over his shoulders, and that was the reason that he was killed. Now, how foolish is that? You got a real seatbelt, and you use a fake one. And so this guy, as we look at him, we would identify him as a fool because he did something that was unwise. He did something that lacked judgment. I was reading about warnings on consumer products and thought to myself, they must put this on these products for fools. Listen to them. There was a Batman costume, and on the bag it said, warning, cape does not enable user to fly. Now, why did they put that on there? For a fool. There was a bottle of hair coloring, and it said, do not use as an ice cream topping. There was a cardboard sunshield that you put in the window of a car, and it said, do not drive with sunshield in place. These warnings are for fools. On a portable stroller, it said, caution, remove infant before folding for storage. Foolishness is all around us. But I want to share with you today that as much as we see foolishness around us, and as much as we see these foolish warnings put out for foolish people, there is no bigger fool than the person who says there is no God. What the fool believes there is no God. We saw last week that there were four different words for fool. The word fool here is the Hebrew word nabal, and it meant a person who lacked the voice or was close to the voice of moral reasoning. We talked about a man whose name was Nabal. He was a fool. He did foolish things. And when we look at this Hebrew word, Nabal, that when they translated it into Greek for the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Old Testament, the word Nabal translated as moros or moron. And so we see that the Bible says that the moron has believed in his heart there is no God. What is a person who believes there's no God? This is what we would call an atheist. An atheist. And this word atheist comes from two words, a, which negates whatever comes behind it, and theism, which means God. So an atheist is a person who disbelieves or lacks belief in the existence of God. Why do people choose to be atheists? Why do they, as we look at Psalm 14, and even this verse is repeated again in Psalm 53, why is it that people choose to become atheists? There are three main reasons why. Number one, they reject religion. They say God is the result of man's need to have a crutch. Man is weak, and man has concocted and schemed up this whole idea of religion, has schemed up this whole idea of God so that he can have something to lean on. So atheists reject religion, or even you can include in that, when I talk about religion a lot of times, I like to separate religion from Christianity, because I believe that religion is man-centered, man-made, whereas Christianity is God-centered and God-made. But when they say religion, they are lumping Christianity in with this group. Scientific reasoning that people become atheists is because they say that God cannot be verified by scientific study. That you can't verify God, that there's no test that you can use to test to see that there's a God. And that's why Hebrews 11 becomes so important. By faith, we understand. It is by faith that we believe in God. Now, I could take you through, I teach a course on apologetics, and I could take you through about 20 reasons, 20 proofs for God. I don't have time to do that this morning, but there is scientific proof that God exists, or there is proof that God exists. And then there are people who become atheists because they say that God, belief in God, is irrational. If there's a God, then why is there evil in the world? Again, we could go through that and talk about why there's evil in the world. And just because there's evil in the world does not mean that there's not a God. And so atheists reject the idea of God on these three accounts. Now, these are what we would call traditional or garden variety atheists. There is a new wave of atheism that's out there today. And this new wave of atheism, they not only believe that there's not a God, but they take it a step further and they actively encourage others to join them in their philosophy and become bent against any type of religion. If we look at Christianity, we see that we are called to evangelize, that God has called us to go out and reach the world. Well, these new atheists would say that we've been called to go out and reach the world. We've been called to go out and educate people that there's not a God. So it's just not good enough to believe there's not a God, but you have to aggressively go out and disprove that there's not a God. Now, I've always been left with my head scratching to say, why do you fight against something that does not exist? You know, just say I invented something. Say I invented it, right? You've never seen it, right? I got it in my hand, right? It's just something that I made up. Then why would you go write books against it? Why would you spend your time arguing against it? It doesn't exist. So if God doesn't exist, doesn't it make sense that you were just wasting your time trying to prove something that doesn't exist? But yet and still, this is what we see. Let me read a couple quotes from the New Atheist website. They say religious fundamentalism has gone mainstream, and its toll is on. Now look at this. They say that what you believe, Christianity, what you believe about faith, about Christ, about God, that it's taken a toll on education, science, and social progress. And they say this is disheartening. On the website, wake up, people! Wake up! We are smart enough now to kill our invisible gods and oppressive beliefs. It is the responsibility of educated to educate the uneducated. So you are uneducated. You need to be educated because you believe there's a God. Because you believe in a Christ who died for your sins, that you are actually walking in ignorance. And you need to be educated. Unless you fall prey to the tyranny of ignorance. We see they continue by saying this. And this is the part that should alarm us as God's people. Because again, as they say religion, they are involving Christianity within religion. Religion should not be simply tolerated, but should be countered, criticized, and exposed by rational arguments wherever its influence arises. So these are the new atheists, and they have a very aggressive agenda. So it's just not, and the reason I'm bringing this out, saints, it's just not anymore Psalm 14:1 or Psalm 53:1, the fool hath said in his heart there is no God. It's not just that anymore, but it's now an aggressive attack on everything that we hold godly and that we hold dear. What are the fundamental beliefs of new atheism? First of all, they say that there's no scientific proof that God exists. Second, they say naturalism, not supernaturalism, not creation where God woke up one day, or, you know, well, he don't sleep, so I'm saying that figuratively, right? And God decided that he was going to make the world. And he spoke the world into existence. That's supernatural. They say that only naturalism can explain what we observe in the universe. The existence of evil proves that there's not a God. That if there was a God, there wouldn't be evil in the world. If there was a God and he was all powerful, he would do something about it. If there was a God and he is good, he would do something about it. And so the fact that evil is in the world, there's not a God. And then what they will tell you is the reason why there's so much evil in the world today is because of religion. Because you believe and stand up for the Bible, because you stand on the Word of God, that you are the problem. That when you talk about certain sins that are prevalent in our culture today, you are the problem. You are the one that's making the problem. And so these are the fundamental beliefs of new atheism. So it's more than just the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. These new atheists, let me share with you a couple of them. There's Richard Dawkins. He wrote a book that, and the reason that I'm bringing this out is because these individuals and their writings are greatly influencing our culture today. Now, some of these guys are dead, and they found out the real deal, right? But these writings, if you pull them up and you look at them, they are greatly influencing our thinking, or the thinking of our culture today. You know, how when you fill out an application and they ask you what religion that you are? Well, they've actually added a category, which is now the biggest religion, and that is nuns. No, I didn't say nuns like in the Catholic Church. The nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, none. People that don't identify with anything, they're none. And this actually is a move by atheists to say pretty much that we don't believe in God. And so this is one of the fastest growing movements in our culture. And I'm sure that it's probably, how many people, I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of us know people that have walked away from the faith? That they have become a nun. A part of that reasoning and a part of that influence has been this culture of new atheism. And so we see Richard Dawkins, who was an Englishman, and he wrote two books that have greatly influenced the thinking of our culture, The God Delusion and The Blind Watchmaker. We see that there's another individual, Englishman, by Christopher Hitchens. He wrote a book, God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. Another gentleman, an American, Daniel Dennett, Breaking the Spell, Religion as a Natural Phenomenon. And then a man by the name of Sam Harris, who is still alive today, he wrote a book, The End of Faith, Religion, Terror, and the Future of Reason. And so, again, these works are shaping our culture. They are shaping the thinking of people around us today. And so, what does the fool believe The fool believes that there is no God. But we know that there is a God. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how? I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I know that he lives. I know that there was a song out, especially when this movement, God is Dead, came up. The Mighty Clouds of Joy, they wrote a song, If God is Dead, who can tell me where his body lies? If God is dead, who makes day and night? If God is dead, then my life is not worth living. I'm so glad I know he lives. He lives, he lives, he lives. I can feel him moving through the trees and the wind and the breeze. I can see him shining through the stars in the night that shines so bright. He lives. I'm so glad he lives. And so we see that people who don't believe in God are fools. I wish I had time to teach this morning, but I want to give to you some reasons that we see the existence of God real quick. I didn't put this up there again to do a teaching on it. I just put them up there so I could preach on them this morning. And the first thing we see is that God is uncaused. That he is the uncaused first cause of everything. That somebody said, well, how did God get here? He always been. He has always been around. There's never been a time when God started. God has always been. He is uncaused. I told y'all about the night I almost went crazy, didn't I? I told you about that night when I was laying in my bed and I began to think, how did God get here? I stretched my brain and racked my brain and came up with the answer. Another God put him here. And then I thought, well, how did that God get here? And it just took me on an endless rabbit trail of nothingness. And so finally I had to come to the conclusion that God has always been. There's never been a time when God was not. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is infinite. He is infinite as far as time, space, and matter is concerned. Infinite. You can't put restrictions on God. He fills these things out. God is self-sufficient. You know, what do we say? He is God all by himself, right? He doesn't need anything else to exist. He's God all by himself. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And he is immutable. So where do the atheists say that things began? Well, they use evolution. Atheists say that we got here through the process of evolution. My granddaughter, a couple of years ago,
thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of What the Fool Believes. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, What the Fool Believes, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What the Fool Believes. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request What the Fool Believes. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.